There are four noble truths in the teaching of the Buddha. The first noble truth is Dukkha Sicca, the truth of suffering. The second is Samudaya Sicca, the truth of the origin of suffering. The third is Nirodha Sicca, the truth of the cessation of suffering. The last one is Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Padipada Ariya Sicca. Simply, we can say Mega Sicca. The truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. It is important to know these four noble truths. Only with the apprehension of the truth of suffering, yogi can avoid suffering. Again, in order to achieve cessation of suffering, there must be knowledge of what constitutes real cessation of suffering. Finally, the extinction of suffering cannot be brought without knowledge of the practical way of accomplishing it. So, knowledge of the four truths is important. Today we have to listen to the first noble truth according to Dhammacakka Sutta, the first discourse.
Và Ngài sẽ đọc cho chúng ta nghe về những cái chân lý cao thượng này, và Đức Phật thuyết về Tứ Diệu Đế ở trong cái bài kinh Dhammacakka Sutta và thư kinh Chuyển Pháp Luân.
Then Buddha continued his discourse with a description of the Four Noble Truths. The middle way constitute the fourth noble truth. It is one of the noble truths. The four noble truths are important teaching in the teachings of the Buddha. Whatever Buddha taught falls into the realms of the four noble truths. It is said that there is nothing outside the four noble truths that can be known. So the Four Noble Truths are important in the teachings of the Buddha. So we must understand two words, Ariya Sicca. Ariya means noble and Sicca means truth. Truth, according to Buddha's teachings, just means something that is true, something that is not otherwise than stated. The word noble here, or the expression noble truth, is explained in four ways in the commentaries. They are called noble truths because they are penetrated by the noble ones. So noble truths first means noble penetrated truths. These are four truths which noble ones penetrate, or which noble ones see, or which noble ones know. It is the first meaning of noble truth. The second meaning is the noble one's truths. Who are noble one? Noble one means the Buddha. It was the Buddha that discovered the four truths and revealed them to the world. They are his truths. They are the Buddha's truths. So they are called noble truths, the noble one's truth. It is the second meaning. The third meaning of noble truth is truths that make people noble. That means when they see these four noble truths, when they realize these four noble truths, they become noble ones. The truths, when penetrated, make the people who penetrate them become noble ones. So they are noble-making truths. This is a third meaning. The fourth meaning is just true truth. The word noble means true. They are called noble truths. You can take any one of these as the meaning of noble truths. There are four noble truths taught by the Lord Buddha. The Buddha taught the four noble truths for the first time in this discourse given to the five disciples just about 2 months after his enlightenment. So the first noble truth is noble truth of suffering, the noble truth of dukkha. So in this sutta, Buddha mentioned, Itam kho panna bhikkhave dukkha ariya siccha. Jati bi dukkha, jara bi dukkha, marana bi dukkha. Soka parideva dukkha, domana supayasa bi dukkha. Apiyehi sambhyogo dukkho, piyehi vipiyogo dukkho, yampechan na labhati tampi dukkha. Sankhite na pinchu padana khanda dukkha. That means this is the noble truth of suffering. Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with those one does not love is suffering. Separation from those one loves is suffering. Desiring to get and not getting what one wants is also suffering. In short, the five aggregates which form the object of clinging are suffering. This is a definition of the first noble truth, which is a noble truth of suffering. Jatipi dukkha, birth is suffering. Jati, birth means conception in the mother's womb for human beings and animals. From the time the beings take conception in the mother's womb until they are really born, that time is called jati, birth in this Dhammajaga discourse. There are other beings who do not take conception in their mother's womb. but who are born depending on moisture-laden things, like moss or dirt or whatever. For them, the first moment of their life, the first conscious moment of their life, is called jati. There are also other beings like Deva, Brahma, or Beta, celestial beings, hungry ghosts, etc. They are called opapatika, spontaneously born. That means when they are born, they are already grown person. They don't have to be in the mother's womb for any period of time. When they are born as grown-up person. For them too, the first moment of consciousness in that life is called jati. But Buddha said, this birth is suffering. In the commentaries, many kinds of suffering are described with regard to being in the mother's womb. When a fetus is in the mother's womb, it has to suffer a lot of pain. This suffering is clear. Although we may not remember suffering in our mother's womb, we can still imagine that suffering and also how it is fraught with danger to be in our mother's womb, especially if you have to take conception in the mother's womb in these days of teenage mothers. You can see how really frightful it would be. Sometimes they are not so prudent. They may take drugs and other things which cause babies to be born mentally retarded or with many kinds of deformity. To be in our mother's womb, to take conception, to grow in our mother's womb is really suffering. It is also the basis for the suffering we encounter in our life until we die. So it is called dukkha, it is suffering. For those who are born spontaneously and for those who are born out of dirt or moss or something, birth itself may not be seen as suffering. But since it is the basis for consequent suffering, it is also suffering. When we say jatipi dukkha, birth is suffering, we mean it is a basis for suffering, the origin of suffering. Jarapi dukkha, aging is suffering. It is very plain that aging is suffering. We don't like to get old. In spite of our efforts to stay young or look young, we are always getting old. We are getting old day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. When we get old, we lose strength in our limbs. We don't see as clearly as we did before. Also we have hearing problem. Then our teeth begin to fall out. There are many things connected with aging. Then there is treatment by younger people, maybe with disrespect or sometimes with disgust. When one becomes old, some behave like a child again for some sickness. All these kinds of suffering are because of aging. So aging is also a basis for suffering. It is called dukkha. Aging we cannot avoid, we cannot escape. Nobody can turn it back. By medical means, it may be possible to slow down the rate of aging. But it is not possible to stop it altogether, to turn it back to youthfulness. Even though the physical body may look young, even though it may be possible to get rid of wrinkles and all these things, the fact that we are getting old, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, cannot be avoided. So aging is a cause for different kinds of suffering. So aging is described as suffering, jarapi dukkha. Maranampi dukkha, death is suffering. Everybody is afraid of death. We are afraid of death because when we die, we have to leave everything behind. Also, we are not sure where we will be reborn. So we are afraid of death. However afraid of death we are, stay one day, we have to face death. Life is uncertain, death is certain. We will die surely. Death is a cause of suffering. So Buddha said, Maranampi dukkha, death is suffering. Soka paridewa dukkha domanasa upayasa. Sorrow, pain, grief, lamentation, and despair are also suffering. They are themselves suffering, and they are also the causes for consequent suffering. So they are called dukkha. And then Buddha said, Appiyehi sambayoga dukkha. Association with those whom we do not love is suffering. That is very plain. When we have to live with someone we do not like, we do not love, we suffer a lot. When we have to be with something we don't like, then we suffer. Sometimes your car has become old, it breaks down every now and then, but you cannot afford to buy a new car. You have to repair this car every now and then. There are all these things. So having to be with someone whom you do not love, whom you do not like, and having something, a car, a house, or whatever you do not like, is a cause of suffering. And Buddha said, Piyehi vipiyoga dukkha, separation from those we love and separation from those things that we like is also suffering. When we are separated from our loved one, we feel sorry and we suffer. When we are separated from things we like, if someone takes something or whatever, we suffer a lot. So separation from those we love and from things we like is suffering. And Buddha said, "Yam pichana labhati tampi dukkha." Desiring to get and not getting what one wants is also suffering. We desire a lot of things in our lives. Sometimes or often we don't get what we want. When we do not get what we want, we suffer. People have different desires. Some people want to have a new car, a new house. Some people want to become rich. If you don't get what you want, it is definitely suffering. However, this is a very simple way of looking at suffering. What Buddha meant is not this kind of suffering, but another kind of suffering which comes from unfulfilled wishes. What if we were not to get old? If we were not to die? If we were not to have sorrow, lamentation, and so on? It would be very good if we did not have to get old, death, etc. But that wish cannot be fulfilled. Not getting what we want is suffering means not getting what we wish for with regard to aging, death, and other kinds of suffering. Desiring to get and not getting what we want is also suffering. Then Buddha said, Sankhitena pinchupadane khanda dukkha. In short, the five aggregates which form the object of attachment are suffering. So at last Buddha said, in short, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering.
Và có những cái mà mình không có muốn mà mình lại có thì điều đó cũng khổ. Vì vậy Đức Phật nói rằng, nói tóm lại, ngũ uẩn thủ hay là cái sự bám níu vào những cái ngũ uẩn được gọi là khổ.
Pinchupadanakhanda. Pincha upadanakhanda. The five aggregates of clinging. What are the five aggregates of clinging? Everything in the world. When we are happy, that happiness is included in the five aggregates of clinging. When we enjoy food or when we enjoy life, that enjoyment is included in the five aggregates of clinging. According to this, in short, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering, then everything in the world must be suffering. So when you say, I am happy, I am actually suffering. When I enjoy good food, I'm actually suffering. So it is a little difficult to accept the last statement that everything in the world is suffering. In order to understand this statement, we must understand at least three kinds of suffering. Dukkha dukkha, Viparinama dukkha, and Sankhara dukkha. The first one, dukkha dukkha, is the real dukkha, real suffering. Second, Viparinama dukkha means suffering in change. The last one, Sankhara dukkha, means suffering because it is conditioned. So there are three kinds of dukkha to understand. You hit yourself with something and there is pain, that is real suffering. Sometimes we are sad, we are depressed, we are disappointed, we are discouraged, that is real suffering. Second is Viparinama dukkha, suffering in change. Sometimes we have a good feeling, we are happy, we are enjoying our life. That is also called suffering, suffering in change, because that enjoyment, that happiness will not last forever. That enjoyment will disappear, that happiness will disappear. When it disappears, when it changes, we are sad. Good feeling, happiness, joy are also suffering, because when any one of them disappears, it causes suffering in us. So happiness is also called suffering according to this classification into three kinds of suffering. And the third one is Sankhara dukkha. It is the most important. It is suffering because it is conditioned. Everything in the world is conditioned. Conditioned by some other cause or conditioned by some other factors. Everything that is conditioned has a beginning and an end. There can be nothing which is conditioned and which does not have a beginning and an end. That which is conditioned, which is made, must have a beginning. When it has a beginning, then it has an end also. Everything conditioned in the world, and everything in the world is conditioned, and it has a beginning and an end. Everything that has a beginning and end is called a dukkha. Sankhara dukkha. And Buddha taught in another discourse that whatever is impermanent is suffering. So everything that is impermanent is suffering. Everything that has a beginning and an end is impermanent. Everything that is conditioned has a beginning and an end. So everything that is conditioned is suffering. According to this definition, everything in the world is suffering. What we call happiness is also has a beginning and an end. So it has to be called suffering. So Buddha said, Sankhitena Pinchupadana Khanda Dukkha. In brief, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering. So Buddha means that everything in the world is suffering. When we try to understand the first noble truth, we must understand at this level, on this basic level. Buddha was a practical person. He was a realist. So he declared what was true, just the first. When Buddha looked at beings, what he saw was just suffering, just dukkha. Birth, aging, death, sorrow, grief, lamentation, and so on. And also he saw the arising and disappearing of psychophysical phenomena. So he saw a group of sentient beings as dukkha. So Pinchakhanda, the five aggregates. There are five aggregates. Whenever we see something, we hear something, we smell something, we taste something, we touch something, and we think of something. There are five aggregates of clinging everywhere. So yogi are practicing vipassana. So vipassana meditation concerned with these five aggregates of clinging. So when someone asks, you are practicing vipassana, what does vipassana do? So you answer, vipassana meditation observes the five aggregates of clinging. The five aggregates of clinging are the objects of vipassana meditation. Since everything belongs to the five aggregates of clinging, we can say that anything that arises in mind and body can be the object of vipassana meditation. That is why when yogi practice vipassana meditation, you have to be mindful of everything which becomes prominent at the present moment. Sometimes there is a sound, you observe. Sometimes there is breath, you observe. Sometimes there is rising, you observe. Sometimes falling, you observe. Sometimes it is a pain in the body. Sometimes it is something you see. Sometimes it is your thoughts or emotions. So everything becomes the object of vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditation observes the five aggregates of clinging. So Buddha said, Sankhitena Pinchupadana Khanda Dukkha. In brief, the five aggregates of clinging are suffering. The whole world of living beings is a mess of suffering. Kewala Dukkha. So according to Dhammacakka Sutta, we have to understand the noble truth of suffering, Body suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despair are suffering. So we have to recite the description of the Noble Truth of Suffering. So please follow my recitation. This is the Noble Truth of Suffering.
This is the noble truth of suffering.
Birth is suffering.
Birth is suffering.
Aging is suffering.
Aging is suffering.
Death is suffering.
Death is suffering.
Sorrow.
Sorrow.
Lamentation.
Lamentation.
Pain.
Pain.
Grief.
Grief.
And despair are suffering.
And despair are suffering.
Association with those.
Association with those.
One does not love is suffering.
One does not love is suffering.
Separation from those.
Separation from those.
One loves is suffering.
One loves is suffering.
Desiring to get.
Desiring to get.
And not getting what one wants is suffering.
And not getting what one wants is suffering.
In short, the five aggregates which form the object of clinging are suffering.
Which forms the object of clingings are suffering.
So you understand, you remember the noble truth of suffering, and practically you are observing everything. Everything you observe that is impermanent is suffering. Everything that has a beginning and an end is impermanent. Everything that is conditioned has a beginning and an end. So by practicing meditation, yogi can understand the noble truth of suffering. And if you practice this Eightfold Path, a yogi can escape from suffering. So we have to end our discourse for today by practicing Satipatthana Vipassana meditation, by practicing Eightfold Path. May you all practitioner overcome suffering. May you all practitioner realize the real peace in the very near future.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.